There we go. Nice, huh? You see, that was just for you. Okay, this is Herbert O'Byrley, Dean of the University of Healing, with 2010 London Symposium. Proposition is how being in control of my divinity. We just did that, didn't we? Okay, being in control of my divinity. And how do I know my mastership? Being in control of my divinity, how are you? Yes, it's on. The light on there, so that's good. You can always tell when it's on by seeing that. That's good. So, how am I in control of my divinity? How am I in control? I am in control of what?
Of my divinity, by being in control of my thought.
And
beneficial thought.
Right. And I treat my dog, illustration, I treat my dog by saying, chin up, chest out, shoulders back, okay. I walk to the dog's place where the dog lives, and he's an aggressive dog. And I walk in there and he backs up. I take over his bone, he backs up. I take over his bed, he backs up. And then when I choose, I say, okay, I point. I don't say anything. I point to his bed. I say, get in there with my finger. And so he gets in his bed. He cannot get in his bed until I tell him it's okay. Now, this is the concept we want to use with our thoughts. What do we say to our thoughts? You have permission to be thought. And you have not permission to be thought. I am in control of my thoughts. Any thought that comes into my mind that says, why is it that she has all that money and I don't have it? Why? Blah! We don't say things like that. We say, bless you. Bless you, bless you, bless you with all your abundance. With all the magnificent wealth that you have. Bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you. You see? And then, when I say bless you with the abundance you have, what happens?
It's gone.
It flows into my world too. I am in the flow. I am in the flow. I'm not saying, I wish I had your money, I wish I had your money, or, you don't deserve it, but I deserve it, you know. I don't say that. Hey, have it, have it, have all you want. And I do too. Have all you want. And I do too. When you do that, when you say that, when you are that, then you enjoy that. But you will not enjoy that if you see somebody else with something that you wish you had. Because then you'll be anxious for it. You'll be feeling jealous of them having it. And you'll feel unhappy about it. So that's why it's so important that we're in control of our divinity and how we demonstrate my mastership. You demonstrate your mastership by talking to your dog, saying, sit. Or not even saying, sit. What do I do with Rex when I want him to sit? I point down. I make sure he can see my hand. I don't hold my hand over his head where he can't see it. But I put it in front of his face, and I point my finger down, and he looks. He says, okay. And so he not only sits down, he lays down. And he stays. And then somebody will drop some food or something like that, and he'll rush over to try to get it. I said, nope, down. No, down. I give you permission to leave. Down. Now, this is training for me, so I can train my thoughts. This is training for me when I take some outer experience like a dog and talk to him like a master. Then I learn how to talk to myself as a master. Now, my, oh, down, shump, down, don't wreck your table, oh, wreck your double, double. He doesn't like that. He doesn't like that. He'll just look at me and say, you got a problem, Dan? No, I haven't got a problem. I didn't do anything wrong. I'm a good guy. I'm wonderful. Why are you shouting at me? Why are you playing that game with me? It doesn't bother me. You must have a some feather up someplace, you know, up your nose. And so you got a problem. And so, but he won't really do as I tell him to do. And then I stop and I say, Rex, I am so happy that I have you as my dog. Rex, sit. And the whole atmosphere has changed. Or I will just say in my heart, let this anxiety go away, let the tension go away. And and then say, down. Is that, I'm teaching myself to whisper to Rex, like the dog whisper, but whisper to Rex, and I'm whispering in his ear, good boy, Rex. I love you, Rex. Thank you, Rex. Now, he doesn't need to hear, thank you, good boy, Rex. He doesn't need to hear all those things. He needs to have the feeling. He knows exactly what I mean. He knows exactly what... Now, our consciousness knows exactly what we mean, too. And when we say to ourselves, I'm poor, our consciousness knows that. And it helps us to be poor. When we say to our consciousness, I am so rich, oh, I am so rich, and it happens. But many times, the bank will send us a checkbook so we can write a check on our happiness account, and we don't even do it. We don't even do it. We don't believe it. Do we all have a happiness account in the bank?
Yes.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Do we use it? No.
No.
We don't use it because we don't believe we have it. Now, if we would start believing we have it, we'd be quite surprised. Now, a lot of people look in their files, and their old files, and they find checkbooks and bank accounts and stuff that they hadn't looked at for years, and that have maintained enough money in it so that it grows rather than dies. And if they have enough money in it, you'll get like 1 or 2% interest on your account, which could be enough to maintain the accounts open. And if you had enough in the account to let it grow, well, 1 or 2% over a period of 10 years is nice, but not really compared to the rest of the world. But it's better than nothing. So then at the end of 10 years, you're going through your files and your books, and there's that checkbook and that account. And say, I wonder if I ever used that account, if I ever closed it. And so you call the bank and check on that account, and sure enough, it's still there. And what you put in 10 years ago was maybe $20,000, and what you have now is $100,000. You say, how did that happen? My goodness sakes, you know, how come I got such money? And then you begin to look at other checkbooks and other activities, you know, where you had your children's account, and you had an account for each one of your children in the bank, and you had built it up to about $8,000 or $10,000, and you hadn't paid any attention to it. But it had enough that it would get this 1% or whatever it got, and it would grow, and then you look at it, and here each one of these kids got $20,000 in their account. And so you go to the kid and say, hey, you got $20,000. Roo-wee, where'd that come from? You know, and it's your money. You saved it. I did it. I didn't even know it. thank you, Dad. Yeah. And so then they hadn't expected it. But wealth is ours as we let ourselves flow with it. And as we do that, we will find all sorts of already there accounts. Already there accounts. Already there. In the United States, they have you call this number and give them your name, and they look up your name, and they find out if you have any outstanding bank accounts where the bank owes you money. You know, it's not a closed account or nothing. But and then they will tell you what it is, and you pay them a certain fee, but they tell you what it is, and then you can go and get it. And if you had a bank account in your name from when you were a child, and now you're 80 years old, it could be quite amazing what you have in there. And those things happen. Now, we have abundance, that's only one area, but we have abundance in our life that exists right now and that we haven't taken advantage of. Now, do you have to go and call this organization to find out about if you have money in the bank or if you have something? No, you just say, I know that I know that I know. And then you listen to, introspectively, you listen to the divine in you, which knows all that stuff. It's in charge. It knows it all. And then it'll tell you if you do or if you don't. And if you do, then you have it and you find it. This happens. Now, different people tell me, well, I had an uncle who had an account for me, and in that account he had about $3,000 or $4,000, you know. And he died a long time ago, and I never heard about the account and never heard what happened to it, but it was still in my name, and I doubt that he did anything with it, you know. And so how do I check it out? Well, I check it out by checking out the bank that it had been in or whatever, you know. Or I go into this special account which says, what's your full name, and is there any account ever opened in your name that has any money in it yet? And so it goes through the entire banking system of the United States, everything on record, and through a computer it goes rather quickly. And so then you get the answer back, yes or no. Now, you have to go H. L. Byerly, H. Byerly, Herbert L. Byerly, Herbert Byerly, Herbert Byerly Jr., Herbert L. Byerly Jr. You know, you have to include all those things because it could have been under any one of those names. Okay. See? And so when you do that, and it could have been Junior Byerly, who knows what we did as kids or what was done earlier. And theoretically, it should have been done properly, but you check on all those accounts. I haven't done this. It might be fun to do it, you know. Wouldn't I be surprised if I found some lovely blessing there? And wouldn't I be not surprised that it is there, you know? Can we go introspectively into our consciousness and open up the doors of infinite abundance?
Yes.
Yes, we can. Now, why don't we do it? Why don't we go into the doors of our consciousness and open them up and let the moths fly out and figure out what glorious things are there for us? Because they are there. And they're waiting for us. Yes. Wonderful, isn't it? Okay. How to demonstrate my mastership. Now, how do I demonstrate my mastership of living in this inner state of consciousness, this inner state of awareness, this inner state of beingness? How do I do that? How do I demonstrate that I am a master? How do I outpicture that I am a master? Well, let's just take Caesar Milan, who is with the Dog Whisperer, or he is the Dog Whisperer, and he gets in there, his chest out, his chin up, his shoulders back, and he takes on that attitude that I am the pack master. I am the pack master. What does a service person do in the army or navy or whatever, and he is leading the platoon? He stands there. All right, attention, you know, right face, forward, march, left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right, you know, moving him right along. And he's in charge. And if you get up there and say, all right, attention, left, right, left, right, left, right, and they would soon get nothing. And they would be a raggle-taggle bunch, you know. And this is what we do when we do not take charge of who we are, when we're not the master of who we are on everything we do. Now, can you do this? Can you do this in your world, on yourself? Forget your grandson and forget your daughters and sons and forget your relatives and forget the world of people that know you. And let's just go to a world of people who don't know you. We go into a crowd of people. You go into the shopping mall. And you walk in the shopping mall and you're everybody. You know, nobody knows who you are. And so you walk in there and you're slouched over, you know, and you feel sort of, oh, raggedy. And people just stay away from you. They don't want anything to do with you. Then you go into a shop. And in the shop, the lady says, oh, let me do a remake on you. Let me do a remake on you right now. And you have a purse full of money and you say, what the heck? You know, go ahead. And so they work on you. And they do your fingernails, and they do your toenails, and they do your hair, and they do your complexion, and they do this and that. And then, after they do that, they say, okay, take off your clothes, go in there. And then they come in, they already know what your size is. They're used to seeing it. And so they go in there and they bring you this undergarment series. Beautiful things that hold your breasts up and hold your tummy in and make you feel just fabulous, you know, just wonderful. And then they come in with shoes, special shoes that are a little high, not too high, maybe 3/4 height, and give you a little lift and make you throw back your shoulders and, you know, lift out your breast and up of the chin. And so they do that to you. Then they bring you a slip, and it's such a silk slip, such a really silk slip that it just slides over you and it's just the most magnificent feeling you could ever want. And after that, then they say, okay, they think to themselves, shall we make her Princess Di, or shall we make her Queen Mary, or shall we make her, who shall we make her, you know, who shall we make this woman? Princess Di is a good one. So they make you into a Princess Di. And you really look just like her. And you act just like her. And you feel just like her. And you put on the clothing that was harmonious with her. And it was the best quality. She could buy the best. And so you have this lovely dress. Just really beautiful. It just perfectly suitable to you. And then you have a handbag that goes with it, you know, and perhaps it's a coat if the season calls for it. But and then a hat, a glorious hat. You had had your hair all done, and then you have this hat that complements the dress and so forth, and the shoes. They're all a beautiful, matched organization. And you walk out of there, and you're still just a little bit like this. You walk out of there, and you look in the mirror. You say, oh, God, is that me? Is that me? And the clerks say, yes, ma'am, that's you. Wow, that is beautiful. Oh, hoo-wee. And so you take your purse, and you've already switched your stuff from your other purse to this purse, and you walk out of there leaving all your clothes in there. and you walk out in the mall. And as you step out of this shop into the mall, instantly, everybody around you looks at you and straightens up and puts their shoulders back and acts, hello, you know, and they go about their way. But they respect, absolute respect. And in just that few moments, that slight alteration in yourself, slight, major, that great alteration in your attitude about yourself, the whole world starts treating you differently. They start treating you like a master consciousness. And they start treating you as a master, not knowing who you could be, as far out down as can be, or as far up as can be. But they treat you like they envision you. Now, how do they see you? They see you as a very self-confident, gorgeous woman. They see you as a woman that is just with dignity and charm and just with all the poise. You didn't even know you had the poise. With all, but it comes with the costume. And so you are just wonderful. And you walk through the mall, and before you can get to the other end of the mall, in no rush, you're just walking, before you can get to, more people have stopped to look at you and stopped to say, who is that lady? Who is that person? Who is that beautiful being? Who is that magical being? Because you now have a charisma. Okay, but this charisma is only half-baked. This charisma is only half-baked. It's just the outer symbol. No. As you walk down through the mall, and people respect you so, you begin to respect yourself inside. You begin to have a greater self-confidence for yourself inside. You begin to have a feeling that I wonder what I should do. What shall I do? I'm now, you know, dressed so fine, and I'm so wonderful, everything is so good. What shall I do? What will my profession be? What will my love be? What will I do? And it doesn't matter. But you have this attitude, I am something more than I appear to be, and I appear to be very good. But I am something more than I appear to be. And so you put these thoughts in your consciousness, and that's where you say, who am I, and where am I, and where do I go? But you put it in your consciousness, and then you say to yourself, I know that I know who I am. I know that I am the master of myself, or whatever it is, I'm the master. I am the master now. How does the master act? You don't ask the question, but you think it. How does the master act? Well, the master acts with ramrod straightness, with dignity, and with charm, and with self-confidence. A master acts with the outflow of charisma that is so powerful and so substantial. It has so much substance that you can feel it. You can just feel the charisma pouring out of such a person. And when it does, everybody pays obeisance to it. Everybody respects it and loves it. Everybody says, wow, 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 wow. And you don't say, yes, damn it, you do owe it to me. Damn it, you do owe it to me. You don't say something like that. You may think of it for a moment. But you stop and you say, I am honored. You do me honor by respecting me. You do me honor by recognizing me as something wonderful and good. Thank you, thank you. Thank you. I am so honored. See, now that is the essence of a master. The master is not one who says, you're damn right I'm good. I'm the king. You got to worship me because I got this title and I got... But when you got the charisma, when you have the charisma, then you have the mastership. Then you have the essence of true respect and honor. And people can respect you and honor you because your charisma is so substantial that they can feel it. They can feel it as a substance, as a beingness, and they respect you so wonderfully. But, you see, this is what mastership means. This is what mastership is all about. It's going to that very special location, that very special understanding within yourself that does it all. Now, it's so easy. Just go into this beautiful store. and you know, on television they have shows, Makeover, where they make over the person. And they make over this person from an ordinary person into a very classy person. Some people come out very classy, and some people come out normal. Why do those come out normal, who come out normal, and those who come out classy? Why?
Their charisma. Their thoughts.
Consciousness. Yeah. You said?
Their consciousness.
Now, they could not wake up inside of themselves to the fact that they are wonderful. See, their consciousness just would not open up to the realization that within them that they really had this beautiful person all along. And though the store made them over, though they gave them a new hairdo and polished their fingernails and toes and gave them statue and gave them the proper clothes, and somebody who knew their business about dressed them just gloriously. And each moment, each slip or the hose or the bra or whatever that was put on made them feel just a little more upright, a little more dignified, a little more spectacular. And when they finally came to the dress and the gloves and the purse and the hat, and they were fabulous. They just were reeking royalty, reeking majesty, and people loved it. And some people could do that because they would go with the show. They would play the game. And others wouldn't play the game. Now, our friend last night, he didn't want to play the game. He kept backing off from playing the game. He kept playing the game like he wanted to have an intellectual and positive discussion when we were having a spiritual discussion here. Now, it's not bad. It's not bad. I'm not knocking him. I know he's a very dear friend of yours. But I am also saying he wanted to play the role of being the leader of the group. He wanted to play the role of being the master of the program. And that wasn't the time or place for it. I mean, he could do it at any time he wants to, but that wasn't the time or place. Now, because he did that, he missed out on some very wonderful things that he'll hear on the tape. And that he will realize that he's great. Do I love him?
Yes.
Do I say this because I want to hurt him?
No.
I say this only because that is what we do when we are not ready to put on our high heels and change our
attitude,
our charisma. Our attitudes, yeah, but our charisma. We want to change our charisma from a charisma of to a charisma of yes, yes, magic, magic. You see, right away, when you thought the charisma of magic, you threw back your shoulders. Right away, you lifted up your chin. Right away, you see, that's what it's all about. People do that when they are playing the game. And when they don't play the game, you can't get them to throw their shoulders back. You can't get them to act like they're charismatically magic. But they do. Marilyn Monroe, she's an actress and was with us for a long time. And she's very specific. When Marilyn Monroe played any role in the movies, whether it was a B movie, most of them were B movies, or whether it was an A movie, she played it so beautifully, so wonderfully, so fantastically that you just felt she was the most sincere, naive, loving person alive. You could not misuse her because she was so pure and so wonderful. And of course, that's the idea they wanted to get across. Now, when they had her in A-roll movies, where top movies with other big actors, she was paid very well. But she ran her own business very well. She was an executive of her business, and her business was a very successful business, and her life was very successful, except she had one little failure, one little failing. People could tell her that she was not very competent, and she believed them. People could tell her that she was not for real, and she'd believe it. People could tell her that she was just an improper woman, and she would believe them. And she was not. She was a very proper woman. Oh, she did some improper things, but the thing is, only running around with another president or something like that and messing up his life. But that's something else again. But she, basically, in her movie roles and in her life, was a very proper woman. And what was she doing when she was running around with the president? She was taking drugs. She was taking drugs and she was not really being herself. She had to be on her high because she had such a low self-esteem. Isn't that a shame? Now, without the drugs, without the low self-esteem, if someone could have gotten to her and helped her build high self-esteem, the sky's the limit. She was good. She did play her role well. She was appreciated by everyone who saw her. And everyone who saw her respected her and loved her. But she couldn't respect and love herself. Now, could she respect and love herself if she were somehow trained into it?
Mm-hmm,
yeah. Mm-hmm. But she did not have anyone to train and love her into doing it. Now, do you have someone to train you and to love yourself and be the wonderful being that you are?
In myself.
Right away, she'll take my thunder. Yeah, be yourself. That's exactly the whole thing. Be yourself. That's the person who trains you, not somebody outside. Somebody outside is only going to be able to do it halfway. They're only going to say, now, come on, chin up, chest out. Now, that's not enough. You got to go the whole nine yards. You got to have your inner attitude. You have to have your realization that you're a beautiful person. You have to have your realization that you're a desirable person and a wonderful person. Your realization that you are intelligent, that you are a person that has something to offer to the world. And you offer this something by saying, I like me. And by telling the world, say to yourself, I like me. Now, wow, wow, wow. That is great stuff, isn't it? Now, how does that happen? That only happens because you put that cause in motion to happen. Do you know what this thing says? 29 minutes and 39 seconds. Isn't that amazing?
Wonderful.
Isn't that amazing?
It is. It
This is amazing.
That's a good machine. It really knows what it's doing, doesn't it? It really knows what it's doing. Now, are you ready to put on your high heels?
I am.
I am. I do.
I do.
I am. Are you ready to be all that you can be?
I am.
You am. Okay, fine. Now, right now, does it feel good?
I feel good.
I am good.
It feels good. Yeah, I am good. It feels good. I feel fantastic. I feel valuable. I feel interested. I feel contributing to my life something very significant, and that everybody who walks in and talks to me feels, hey, I'm glad I talked to them. I'm glad. I feel just so good after talking to them, because I feel illumined, uplifted, and somehow wonderfully imparted, deported. Wonderful, isn't it? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
I love you.